Heroin overdoses are rising at an alarming pace in Manatee County. Public safety officials are scrambling to respond, and rehab centers are struggling to meet the demand for treatments. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From the Donner Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. Heroin overdoses are rising most everywhere, but perhaps nowhere more dramatically than in Manatee County. In July 2015, emergency responders handled more than 200 heroin overdose calls. By comparison, in July 2014, EMS says there were just 17 calls for heroin overdoses. That was the topic at a recent meeting of the Manatee Tiger Bay Club. We'll bring you highlights of that discussion on today's show. But first, Florida Matters producer Lottie Watts gives us an inside look at how heroin is impacting law enforcement and how it's straining the only inpatient drug detox center in Manatee County.
Manatee County on Florida's west coast is home to more than 300,000 people. It's known for its beaches, and if you go a short distance inland, you'll pass by fruit stands and citrus groves.
This is a really fabulous place to live. We have a lot of great things going on here. I've been here since I was 3 years old, so I grew up here, and I love it.
But Melissa Larkin Skinner's hometown is starting to be well known for something else. Hundreds of overdoses and dozens of people dying from heroin. She's the chief clinical officer at Centerstone, the only inpatient detox facility in Manatee County.
And for inpatient, we are at capacity pretty much every other day.
From 2013 to 2014, Centerstone saw the number of people coming in reporting they were using heroin more than double, from about 300 people up to around 670.
So we try. We try as hard as we can to serve everyone, but we're not able to, particularly in our inpatient detox and our residential, because the beds fill up.
When the center is at capacity, they try to find patients a spot somewhere else. But that can mean sending them an hour away, to Pinellas or Hillsboro.
We could probably build a whole new hospital to do just that, and it would be full all the time.
Law enforcement is also feeling the strain.
We're taxed on it. It's something that, there's only so many hours in a day. There's only so many detectives that I have.
Captain Todd Shear is with the Manatee County Sheriff's Special Investigations Unit.
We understand, you can't arrest your way out of this problem. You can't just keep throwing addicts in jail. That's not the way to handle this. They need to have the appropriate treatment facilities and the appropriate services to help these folks, not throw them in jail. Jail is not the answer for folks that are addicts.
Where are we off to now?
Still back in the records department here. I can take you over to maybe a district.
Yeah, he's showing me around the operations center in Bradenton.
I want to cut through this gym here.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Lieutenant Richie Cunningham runs operations for the East Sector.
We have responded to overdoses over the years, but just not to the extreme nature we're going through, particularly this year.
He says deputies are responding to more property crimes and to parents who are calling because their teenagers are overdosing.
We're going to higher-end neighborhoods where parents may find their child, whether an adult or just 16, 17-year-old child, either dead or unconscious. So it's very traumatic for the deputies. It's very traumatic for the families. There's a lot going on.
Anything that sort of sticks with you when you go home at the end of the day?
On a personal note, I reflect on this a lot. I go home and communicate with my kids just about every day because I see what's happening here. Whether it's heroin or anything, you really don't want to miss the signs.
Captain Todd Shear says the uptick in heroin use in Manatee County is affecting departments across the sheriff's office. Deputies who are used to serving subpoenas and evictions are now serving more papers to force addicts into rehab.
If the person doesn't want to help themselves, and sometimes that's really what the case is here, the families can petition, or even friends for that matter, or three friends, they can petition the courts to actually make somebody get mandated treatment and assessment at For us, it's Centerstone.
The rehab facility is just down the street from Mixon Fruit Farms, where a sign is celebrating 75 years of Southern hospitality. Melissa Larkin Skinner says the past few months of dealing with so many heroin overdoses have changed Manatee County.
But maybe what good will come out of it is that this community will finally recognize we do have a problem and it's not just paradise here.
She says mostly, it's just been incredibly sad. For Florida Matters, I'm Lottie Watts in Bradenton.
Heroin was the focus at a meeting of the Manatee Tiger Bay Club on September 3rd in Bradenton. We're bringing you highlights of that discussion along with questions from the audience. The program is moderated by Misty Servia, the president of Manatee Tiger Bay Club.
We have four speakers here today, and I'm going to start by introducing them, beginning, number one, with Captain Todd Shear. Captain Todd Shear is the Manatee County Sheriff's Office Special Investigations Division. He will begin our program, followed by Stephen Kervanek. He is the Chief, Manatee County Public Safety Department, EMS Division. Our number three speaker will be Melissa Larkin Skinner. She is a licensed mental health counselor with Centerstone Behavioral Hospital. And then our last speaker is going to be Brandilyn Carnum, and she's an educational activist, and she's also a recovering addict. Okay, so with that, I'm going to ask our first speaker to come to the mic, and we'll go.
Back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, we used to see heroin being cut with cornstarch, sugars, baby powder, a variety of things in there. But today, what we're seeing is opioids and other things such as fentanyl being placed in there. And to add to the complexity of this, back in the 70s and 80s when heroin was on the streets, it was about 10% pure. Our lab tests that are coming back right now from the heroin we're buying in the streets of Manatee County is coming anywhere from 40 to 60%. I think the last lab report I saw was about 48.2%. So going back to the fentanyl thing, that seems to be a very big contributing factor to the deaths of the folks that we've been having here in Manatee County. Fentanyl is a Schedule II narcotic, which means it does actually have a medical purpose for it. It's also often used for treatments of cancer and chronic pain, unlike heroin, which has zero medical value whatsoever. And just to tell you a little bit more about fentanyl, it's 80 to 100 times more potent than morphine, and it's 50 times more potent than heroin. It's some serious, serious stuff, really bad stuff. And then when you're mixing it with heroin, you can see where it's going to end up. So we know by debriefing a lot of the folks that are buying heroin that the users and the addicts themselves, they're actually seeking out the fentanyl-laced heroin. As crazy as that may sound to us, but that's what they're doing. They want the best of the best. And so that's what they've been briefing us on. Cost. How much does heroin cost? Our street-level buyers are picking them up for about $15 to $20 a hit, which is about a tenth of a gram. It's very inexpensive. Very inexpensive. Pills now are going for about $25 to $30, so it's actually cheaper for them to get heroin on the streets. It's very, very affordable. So where is heroin coming from? Probably not a big surprise to us in here. It's coming from Mexico, Colombia. They're the world leaders in the production of the poppy plant, which is the derivative in which heroin is made. And then to add to the complexity of this issue, the United States of America has a $10 billion demand for this particular drug. It's huge. It's just not here in Manatee County. It's in the Northeast. It's in the Midwest. We're seeing it all over the United States. So what is the Manatee County Sheriff's Office doing about this? We're doing a lot of things, and I'm going to go down them as quickly as I can. We're providing specialized training to every single law enforcement officer on the front lines. Every deputy is getting extensive training through our Power DMS, and what that is they get educated for about 15 to 20 minutes on everything and anything regarding heroin, fentanyl, what to look for, and then a lot of other information that is classified that we can't share with everybody else here. We relay it out to them. Very critical to us that the frontline deputies get this information and relay it back to us, because just like anything, sharing of information and intelligence is absolutely critical for our success in catching those that are trafficking heroin in our county. We also remind our deputies of Florida State Statute 89321. Very important. It's also referred to as the
Good Samaritan law, and it just basically states that a person who is acting in good faith, who's seeking medical attention for someone experiencing a drug overdose, cannot be charged with or prosecuted for possession of a narcotic. So if you got somebody out there, they're both doing heroin, and your buddy overdoses, we encourage the other partner to call 911. We want to get life-saving measures to that person. We're not interested in throwing people in jail. We're interested in saving lives. And the statute protects them. And it not only protects that person, it protects the person who's overdosed. So our narcotics units, they continue to work heroin cases daily. I want to say that again. They work heroin cases daily. Real quick stats. Thus far this year, starting in January, we've closed 114 cases that have been cleared by an arrest related to heroin and opioids, to include fentanyl. We've taken 620 grams of heroin off the street. That's valued at about $62,000. We have some major cases being worked right now, but we just can't talk about them for obvious investigative purposes. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk about those in the near future. Thank you very much for having me today.
As you have heard, and as you're hearing, this heroin situation that we have in the county is permeating all areas of media right now. In Manatee County, the largest group that overdosed can be defined as between 20 and 40 years of age, but there's a subgroup there, and it's between 40 and 60. And when I looked at that, that was rather surprising to me that population was also having those issues. That is a subgroup. But that is the second highest group that we're seeing as far as overdoses. Our oldest patients that we've treated for overdose in Manatee County had one that was 87 years of age, one that was 88 years of age. And this isn't users, this is an overdose. Our youngest was 17 years of age. When you think about the users as compared to the overdoses, you really have to think really how staggering the situation and the problem can really be. The numbers are just overwhelming. Remember, all Manatee County is affected. You can't hide socioeconomically, geographically, doesn't matter. Anamarie Island, Lakewood Ranch, Myakka, doesn't matter. We've had them everywhere. Of course, there are areas that we have more of them, more densely populated, concentrated areas, but it really doesn't matter. So when did this start? How did it start? Manatee County has always had some form of substance abuse issue, much like every other community in the state, every other community in the country, every other population in the world. There's always some part of that they're having an abuse problem. But right now, it seems to be a heavy population here in the Tampa Bay region, the Orlando region, and over into the Daytona Beach region particularly. For instance, South Florida has no problem with heroin. Their issue is FLACA. I don't know if you've ever heard of FLACA. Yeah, FLACA, quite honestly, we have no treatment for FLACA other than supportive and take you to the hospital, where at least heroin, we have a medication that can reverse it. So it really becomes a user-defined issue. In November 2014 is when we really started looking at this and seeing a real spike in overdoses in Manatee County. It was an upsurge. And we followed that through all the way through 2015. We really peaked in June and July of this past year. And when you compare the overdoses, 911-related calls from July 2014 to July 2015, we realized a 1,554% increase in overdoses. Yeah, it's scary. So what does that really mean? We responded to 216 911 calls in July for overdose patients, and we administered 281 doses of Narcan. That's that medication that helps reverse the opioid effect, bringing the year-to-date Narcan administration to a total of 1,008 doses as of August 31st, costing $86,137. That includes, and this really was shocking to me, 35 repeat overdose cases just in the month of July. So that means they overdosed, went around a corner and overdosed again, got out and overdosed again. So that just illustrates the impact that this addiction has on these folks. A very creative firefighter, his name is Firefighter Dunn from Cedar Hammock Fire Department, created a heroin referral card that the captain has showed you guys, which is handed to each overdose patient by EMS in order to start providing them some educational avenue, some, you know, knowledge that there is support and help for them out there. And it was really innovative and very creative, and every EMS unit has them, every fire department has them, every police agency has them. That's what we're looking for, professional intervention. That's really the best hope for these patients. And I'm proud to say our professional community is working hard at closing this cycle. Thank you.
Coming up.
When you're in the throes of all this and you're pawning and you're stealing and you're going through this, is there anything we could say or do that might help?
We'll hear more from a recent Manatee Tiger Bay Club meeting on the increase in heroin overdoses in Manatee County. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters. We'll hear more from a recent Manatee Tiger Bay Club meeting on the increase in heroin overdoses in Manatee County.
I'm Melissa Larkin-Skinner from Centerstone. I'm the chief clinical officer there, and I grew up in this community. So I'm very proud to be here, very proud to be a part of it, but what's going on right now is very disturbing, and it hurts. I'm sure it's hard to imagine that you would ever give up everything good in your life for a drug, that you would steal from your family, from friends, and from strangers, that you would stop taking care of your kids, that you would trade sex acts for the drug, that you would be willing to risk prison and even death just for that drug. Many people would believe it's because you don't care enough, that you don't care about yourself or anyone else. I believe the real you would care, but with your brain changed and your free will robbed by heroin, you would only care about heroin. Heroin is an especially addictive drug due to its effects on the brain. It has become clear that we are in the midst of an epidemic. According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, it started in 2007, and it started in large urban cities like Chicago, St. Louis, and Philadelphia. And since then, it has expanded to suburban and rural areas, much like our own Manatee County. Deaths from heroin in the U.S. increased fivefold from 2001 to 2013. The number of first-time heroin users doubled in 1 year from 2011 to 2012, and the largest increase has been in the 18 to 25 age group. There are two things I want you to take away from today. One, and the most important, is no one chooses to become addicted. It happens due to a set of unfortunate circumstances that's a combination of genetics, environment, and age. When a 10-year-old's asked, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" they never say, "I want to be an addict." Two, I want you to know there's hope. Every day people start on their road to recovery through treatment. And you can help. You can help by educating yourselves and talking about addiction to reduce stigma. It is believed there are 25 million Americans experiencing addiction, and we need to make sure that they feel safe asking for help. You can also help by advocating at county, state, and local levels to ensure our government agencies and political representatives understand the issues and provide adequate funding for prevention and treatment. Thank you for your interest. And thank you for coming today.
Hello, my name is Brandilyn, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. In 2009, when the pill mill epidemic was at its all-time high, my journey with opiates began. I had experimented with party drugs in the past, but nothing had the soul-sucking effect like oxycodone. With over 300 illegally prescribed narcotics on hand each month, I fell victim to them very quickly. It was extremely easy and cheap to get into one of these clinics. I myself wasn't a patient, but someone very close to me was. We didn't know too much about these prescription pills, but it didn't take long to learn. They were valuable, and our group of friends demanded them. As I observed everyone's method to using them, I eventually had found my own. They only talked about the euphoria they would get from these drugs, but never mentioned the withdrawals, nausea, chills, and pains, or the stealing and lying from your parents and soon pawning everything in sight. Days I would lay in bed, kicking and tossing, hot and cold, and had lost all hope. But there was only one thing that could take that all the way, a tiny blue pill. One was too many, and 1,000 was never enough. The pills started becoming harder and harder to get and extremely expensive. I had lost who I was and only cared about the getting and using and finding ways to get more. Pretty soon, I lived to use and used to live. I was a stranger to my friends and family, no longer welcome at their homes. If I showed up, I was treated as a trespasser. Inhaling the drugs wasn't enough anymore. Now, instead of makeup and iPhones and things girls my age would have in their purse, mine was possessing and concealing crack pipes and needles. I no longer had a place to call home. Trap houses, gas station bathrooms, and sneaking to sleep in my mom's car at night were my usual surroundings. Excuse me. With pills becoming almost extinct and impossible to afford, heroin was making its comeback. Half the time it was almost fake because it barely did anything from being cut so much, with who knows what. But when you're sick, you will take what you can find. After around 50 times in detox, a few times in jail, I was accepted to the drug court program. I had failed probation, and my only other option was county jail time. I had to be reprogrammed completely. I went back and forth to jail on sanctions, and I did a 30-day inpatient program and lived in a halfway house. I started to learn responsibility with getting to groups on time and being accountable for my actions if I messed up. During that process, I never gave up. There had to be a better life than I was living, and I knew there was because I had a great life before. Eventually, the more I listened to the suggestions and became honest with myself and others, I started looking better, feeling better, and eventually being better. It took some time, but I earned trust and respect back from my family, and the material things started to be replaced. Life started to become normal again, and in the beginning, the cravings and desire was too strong, so I sought help from an addiction specialist and took medication and therapy, which was truly a big help. Today I am a mother, a loving daughter, a friend, and inspiration to many. It wasn't easy, but it was definitely worth it. I have dreams and goals again, and today I know I never have to use again. Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to invite my panel to come up to the stage so we can quickly respond to your questions.
Good afternoon. Andre Torkelson, Tiger Bay member. I was wondering if you're currently working on ways to get people not to jail but to treatment. Are there programs affordable? People obviously who are addicted aren't working. What's being done to kind of tackle that issue and bring in some more opportunities?
So actually in this community, we're lucky. Centerstone and the county and the sheriff's department and the other law enforcement agencies have an agreement for people who they run across that are addicted or intoxicated. And then there's a state statute that allows them to implement what's called a Marchman Act. So law enforcement can do that Marchman Act, and then they can bring them to Centerstone Hospital. The problem that we have is the demand is far outpacing the actual resources. So when I talked about all the services that are available, they are available, but at a price. Not everyone can afford 3 months, 6 months, 18 months in residential. Some people can only afford detox.
Hi, Judy Sedgman, I'm a member of Tiger Bay. I was just curious to know whether the drug that reverses heroin works when it's cut with a lot of other weird things that, you mentioned so many times now you don't even know what's in there, and I've read a lot about the chemicals that come in from China, nobody even knows what they are, and I wondered if that affects the effectiveness of that reversal.
It's a very good question. That's what we had been referring to when the captain had mentioned about the fentanyl also. The cut and the potency, the purity of it, has a lot to do with that. We find ourselves at times giving multiple doses of the Narcan because we're not getting the desired patient outcome. And there are patients that have been taken to the hospital who then have been put on IV strength Narcan just to keep them breathing until it passes through their system. And the thing about it is you don't really know what it's cut with. So, you know, and when we give the medication and that we don't get the desired effect, then we have to continue dosing. And that's been happening frequently, quite honestly.
Hi, my name is Matt White. I'm a Tiger Bay member. This is for Brandolin. First, I want to say congratulations and thank you. I can only imagine how difficult it is to stand up here and bare your soul to a room full of strangers. I'm a criminal defense lawyer, so I've spent many years sitting at the table in my office with persons, you know, such as yourself that are going through the addiction, their parents and so forth. And I have my way of saying things, how I explain it, and I take it from the lawyer side. This is what's going to happen to you. This is where you're going to go. But I've been there with clients that they go on probation. You know, they test dirty. Now we're back in court. They go to jail. Now we're going to drug court. I've been through that. So my question is this. What could someone like me or a family member or anything like that, when you're in the throes of all this and you're pawning and you're stealing and you're going through this, is there anything we could say or do that might help get you on that path? I mean, what does someone need? What do you need to hear from a lawyer? I'm selfish. I want to know what could I say to someone as they're sitting there and I know they're going through this. Is there anything I can say or do that would help move things along?
The thing that helped me was tough love. Once my parents and everybody around me made it so hard for me and to use, instead of enabling me by giving me a place to stay and use there, or, you know, just letting me take advantage of them, once they kicked me out and I had no other options and it was just tough, I didn't want to do it anymore. So I suggest tough love.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today's show. We have links to more stories about the increase in heroin overdoses at WUSFnews.org. Just click on the Florida Matters link. Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts with engineering assistance from Manatee Educational TV. Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Kirsten Cooper. Thanks for listening.